The following message, Loving Leadership, was based on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. This message was delivered to the adult Bible class of Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, on Sunday, October 15, 2017, by Pastor Ryan Lunsford of Ballston Lake Baptist Church, Ballston Lake, New York.
Well, it's a blessing to be here with y'all today. I'm always thankful to get to go to new places, even though I've been here once before, and be reminded of the grace of God at work in the lives of His people in various places. One of the blessings of visiting other churches is to be reminded that the kingdom of Christ and the rule of Christ, the reign of Christ, of which we just sang, is much greater than sometimes we realize. And so it's a blessing to be here with y'all today. Ballston Lake Baptist Church prays for Emmanuel regularly. I pray for you guys, asking that the Lord would continue to grant you the unity and peace that y'all have known over these recent years, as well as to grant you the desire of your heart in seeing elders added to this church. And so be assured of our prayers for you and our ongoing prayers on your behalf. If you want to, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, a familiar passage to many of us. I'm going to do something that I don't always do, but can I get a show of hands of how many of the men here are husbands? Just so I'm aware of how many I'm talking to. All right, I am as well. In fact, I brought my bride with me this time. She's sitting back there. We are going to look this week, Lord willing, next week at a wife's responsibility to her husband. But this week, we're going to consider a husband's responsibilities towards his wife. I have become increasingly convinced that if we cannot live Christianly in the home, we are not living Christianly anywhere else. And so if we can't live as Christ has called us to live in the greatest sphere in our life, that is our home life in particular for husbands and wives, their relationship with one another, then perhaps we're only fooling ourselves about how we are living Christianly outside of the home. We need to be listening to and living under the rule and reign of Christ in regards to our relationship with our spouse. And so that's where we're going to be in the Sunday school hour today and, Lord willing, next week. Well, let me read to you Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks to you today for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the great love with which he has loved us, a love, Father, that we experienced while we were yet sinners. We thank you, Father, that in time and space he has drawn us to himself, that by grace we have been married to the Savior, and we receive all the benefits and blessings that come to us as Christ as our head. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his atoning work on our behalf. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you, Father, for a pardoning love, which we know. We thank you, Father, for a delighting love, which we have experienced from him. We thank you, Father, for a sanctifying love. We thank you that he does not leave us to ourselves, but that he is concerned to make us holy and righteous and to present us blameless before you. We thank you, Father, for his communicative love. He has not left us without a firm communication. We thank you that he has deposited for us all that we need to know of him in this precious word. We thank you for a communing love. We thank you that he draws near unto us. We thank you, Father, that he walks with us. We thank you that he is ever present and beside us. And Father, we thank you for the supporting love that we know from the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that Christ Jesus is always giving to us the aid that we need, that he is a ready helper, that, Father, he is eager to distribute grace, that he is eager to show mercy. We thank you for such love. Father, we ask that we would marvel at that love. And for those of us here today that are husbands, that we would endeavor to be such lovers, even as Christ is towards his bride. We ask, Father, that you would give us hearts to hear your word. We ask that you would give us a determination to obey it. And we ask, Father, that the love of Christ for his bride might be reflected in our love for our brides. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, like I said, I am convinced that we need to be living Christianly in the home. We need to be living as Christ has called us to live as husbands towards our brides. And so I want to just establish a few things this morning, and then we're really going to reflect on the husband's love for his bride. But the things I want to establish this morning, first of all, is that the husband is the leader in the home. That is clear enough. He is the head of the home. That is seen here in Ephesians 5, as we have already read. He is the head. He is not even commanded to be the head or the leader. That is the position that God has given him within the home. He is a leader. But I would have you note that in this particular passage that we've read, three times the husband is commanded to do something. And that is not to lead, but it is to love. And so all of his leadership, all of our leadership within the home, is to be done in love. We are to have what is called a loving leadership. And so the husband is a leadership. And his leadership is characterized by a few things. His leadership is to be patterned, first and foremost, after the head of the church. You see, man in his own wisdom has come up with a lot of ways in which a man ought to lead a woman or to lead his household. But that's not the pattern. It's not worldly wisdom. Our pattern is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not allowed to think, you know what, I think good leadership looks like this. Or I think good leadership looks like that. No, good leadership looks like just what the Lord Jesus Christ says it looks like. It is to be patterned after the head of the church. And with that in mind, we want to consider, first of all, that the Lord Jesus Christ's leadership is marked first and foremost by servanthood. The Lord Jesus Christ came as the Son of Man not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. His leadership is marked by forgetting Himself. His leadership is marked by taking up the towel and the basin and being willing to serve. In fact, I'll probably quote it again later on, but Wayne Mack says that the husband in the home is to be the biggest servant. There should be no question about who does the most serving in the home. It should be the husband. And that is because his leadership is to be patterned after the Lord Jesus Christ. His leadership is marked by servanthood. We could also go to John 13 and see that. For the sake of time, we'll move on. The husband serves by working outside of the home. The husband serves by doing all that is necessary to provide for the temporal, the physical, the emotional, the social, the spiritual needs of his bride. And first and foremost, it would seem that that does mean at least that he is at work outside of the home in order to provide a home for her. He serves by protecting his wife. His concern is for her welfare, whether that be physical or spiritual. His aim is to protect her. He serves by working in the home. Again, I mentioned this already, but he exemplifies a self-denial, a self-denying love within the home. He is willing to work when he gets home. I'm a father of three wonderful children, but crazy children. And I say that with much love in my heart. And Mama has been working very hard all day long. And when 5 o'clock comes, I may say, you know what? I've been working very hard all day long. And my natural tendency is to go home. I've already clocked out. But you know what? I need to amp it up another notch. When I go home, my job hasn't ended. The work only continues. I need to be a servant at home. Let me take the kids. Let me play with the kids. Let me have fun with the kids. You do what you need to do. Again, somehow men sometimes think that, well, we've done our serving outside of the home, and so we're good for the day. We'll just check that little box. No, when we get to home, we might say in a real sense, the real work begins, and we need to engage in what is considered the self-denial, self-denying love. Love towards our brides. And then lastly, under this heading, he serves by making sure he is leading his wife in a Godward direction. That is to be his primary focus in life. Is his life first and foremost exemplifying a Godward direction in regards to daily devotions, in regards to communing with God, in regards to living for the name of Christ in the normal daily spheres of life? Is he aiming to live in a Godward direction, and is he encouraging his wife to do the same? Of course, applications of that might be praying with her, praying with her and the kids. It may be specific times of study. It may take on a great deal of various forms. Certainly, it would be encouraging her to be at the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, sitting under the instruction of the Word of Life, and so on. These are just a few examples, but he serves by making sure he is leading his wife in a Godward direction. Secondly, his leadership is marked by intense and purposeful involvement. Brother, what's my end time?
10:30.
All right. A purposeful involvement in her life. You note the Savior's leadership of his disciples. He was with them. He was engaged with them. He was always teaching and instructing. He was present. He was there for their needs. And so our leadership should be marked by intense and purposeful involvement. The Savior dwells with his people. He walks alongside of his people. He is intimately involved with his people. Our headship, our leadership should reflect the same. If your wife can say, well, you know what? There was one time in which I knew my husband, but the last last 10 years has just been him doing his own thing, then you're missing the pattern that has been set for you. It is a pattern of involvement, of engagement, of being with, of being intimately concerned with your bride. Thirdly, leadership is marked by instruction. That is part of what the Lord Jesus Christ gives to his disciples. It is marked by instruction in the sense of just example. His life is lived before them. And I could take just the instance of the disciples saying to the Savior, "Teach me to pray. Teach us to pray." Why would they have asked the Savior that? Because they noted that the Savior drew away frequently to pray. And they must have noted it in his prayers when he was praying. There was something about this man's, the Lord Jesus Christ, godliness that drew them to him. And so by example, he taught and instructed. But then there was also times of instruction. Perhaps a wife comes and asks, "What do you think about this? What does the Word of God say about this?" And our response ought not to be, "Well, let me tell you, because I am so wise." It ought to be, "Let me take you to the Scriptures. Let's see what they have to say. Let's try to understand the Word of God together." I should say, just as a side note in regards to that, men, in the perfect garden, the Lord looked down upon man and he said, there's something missing. There's something lacking. And so he created woman, a helpmate, one that corresponds to man, one that makes a half a whole, if you will, in a sense. And he gave to Adam Eve. Even in this perfect world without sin, he said, "This is what you need. You need a companion." And you know what, men? Our tendency is to think, especially when it comes to instruction and when it comes to wisdom, we've got that covered. After all, we're the leader in the home, and so I must be the wisest person in the home. That's not the way it works. We need our dear brides to help complete, to help us understand and to grow. And so just because you're the leader does not mean that you always have the answers. And so you need to go to the Word of God and you need to be willing to listen to your wife. If you have not learned that by now, being married, then you need to pray and ask the Lord that He would teach you, that He gave you a bride to be a helper to you. Not for you as the superior one to help her in all things. Again, come with the disposition to your bride that you have much to learn from her. And so when we speak of instruction, we need to be those who instruct in a timely, in a relevant, and in a biblical manner. And so we want to have timely, relevant, and biblical instruction. Often we're really poor at the timely part and often even the relevant part. And I could say that perhaps the biblical part as well. We think we've figured it out. And so we go ahead and say, "This is the course you should take." And we haven't even consulted the Word of God. Timely and relevant, I may be the world's worst with that. Generally, when my wife, and I'm sorry, sweetie, is crying about something, is when I'm coming in for the rescue and I've got all the instruction she needs. And you know what? All she needs is a shoulder to cry on or someone to listen to her. And all she needs as well is for me to listen to her with the larger perspective in view, right? Sometimes when my wife is telling me something, I get tunnel vision. All I can hear is this one little thing she's saying. I'm like, "Oh man, she's a way off base. She's way off track. She's going off the deep end." And so I want to address that one thing. And if I just step back and think about it, no, I have a godly wife whose track record is thinking biblically about things. Let her talk. Let her think through it. Let the Spirit of God deal with her. I would say, generally speaking, most of the time, if I will just let the Spirit of God do His work through the Word that applied to her life and heart, she's going to get that figured out. And so so timely, relevant instruction. You have to know your bride for that and know what she needs. Okay, let's continue to move on here.
Leadership not only marked by instruction, it's marked by decision making and delegation. And again, we need to understand that though we have to make the decisions, that that does not mean excluding the one whom God has given to us to be a helper in making those decisions. And so we need to listen. Ultimately, it does stop with us. We have to make that final decision. We have to delegate. We have to say, this is how the house should be run. This is how things should happen. This is what we're doing on these days. But we need to be listeners to our brides in regards to their needs, their wants, their desires. And so we want to lead by making decisions. And that's hard sometimes, especially for some of us. You know, some of you are like, no, it's not hard. I've got that down. I make all the decisions. Well, maybe you need to listen a little bit more for your bride. But for others, it's kind of like, you know what? I don't like making the decision, because if I make the final decision, that means the buck stops with me. And if mama's not happy, no one's happy. And you know what? Peace at all costs. I would just rather be happy than have to make a decision. I'll let her make the decisions. Well, that's an error as well. That's sinful thinking as well. No, we have to make the decision. But we don't make it excluding her from it. And we make it, brethren, as I have learned the hard way so many times in life, we make it with her best interest in mind. We are to love her as Christ loves his bride, and he is always thinking of what is best for her. His leadership is marked by knowledge, the Lord Jesus Christ's leadership, that is, and so should ours. Wise leadership can only take place if a man is seeking God. A wise, God-honoring leadership cannot take place divorced from meditating on God's Word. And so what I mean, he knows, he has knowledge. A wise leader understands the Word of God, and that on the one hand, and then on the other hand, he understands his wife. He is a student of the truth, and he is a student of his bride. And so he has knowledge of both, and that is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the Word of God. He knows the tendencies. He knows the weaknesses. He knows the strengths, the struggles, the difficulties of his bride. And he knows how to apply that Word perfectly to suit her need and to give her the help that she needs. And so he is a leader marked by knowledge. And then lastly, he is a leader marked by diligence. He knows his responsibilities. He knows the reason God has placed him in a position of leadership. He knows the end of his leadership, and thus he takes his responsibilities serious. And so when we think of Christ's leadership, he is a decisive, a determined, a diligent leader of his bride. He's committed to the work. That's what I mean by that. He is committed to the work. And so you ought to ask yourself, men, are you committed to the work? Are you committed to leading in love your dear bride? And so we want to think through those things. Well, that is again, just a run through, a speed through, a flyover, if you will, of the leadership of a man in the home. Secondly, and more fully, what I want us to consider this morning is that the husband is not only a leader, the husband is a lover. And so our first point, the husband is a leader. Our second point, the husband is a lover. And I wanted to open this up under a few different headings. He is to love his wife first and foremost as he loves himself. That's in our text this morning, verse 33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his wife even as himself. And then secondly, a little bit above, that husbands ought also, in verse 28, to love their own wives as their own bodies. And so the scriptures are so wonderful. This is a wonderful picture for us, men, in regards to how we are to love our brides. Let me ask you a question. How hard is it for you to look out for, to take care of, to meet your own needs, your own desires, your own hopes, your own aspirations, your own comfort, your own joy, your own happiness? It's quite easy, isn't it? That's what we tend to naturally live for, to take care of ourselves. Next time someone comes and tries to poke you in the eye, what are you going to do? You're not going to let it happen. You're going to protect yourself. Next time someone comes at you to hit you, you're going to do something to avoid that punch. I hope that it's the case with most of you men. You take care of your bodies. You happen to be working out or a long day at work, and you notice, you know what? Something doesn't smell so nice. And so what do? You clean yourself up. You take care of yourself. How many of you like to purchase certain items for a hobby? I do. I have some hobbies I enjoy. I enjoy looking at guns and then purchasing them. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I know I'm up here in the Northwest, but I enjoy weapons, all sorts, and so I like to research them. And then, you know, when money allows, I like to purchase one. And it's not hard for me to think about myself in that regard. What I enjoy, what I like. I like to work out a lot. I like to play sports. It's not hard for me to think about getting to do those things and making the time to do those things. And that's taking care of myself. I'll tell you, when I'm hungry, you know what I do? I find food. I'm not hungry very long. I go and I eat. And whether it's at home or whether it's out. And so I take care of myself. And it's wonderful that the Lord has given us this picture. Love your wife as you love yourself. You take care of yourself. You provide for yourself. You protect yourself. You comfort yourself. You work for your own joy and for your own happiness and your own pleasure. And so you're to do that for your wife. You're to think in those regards. How do I take care of myself? Well, that's how I am to be towards her. We are to love our wives as we love ourselves. You make sacrifices to enrich your own life. Well, do you make sacrifices to enrich the life of your wife? You make sacrifices to prosper yourself. Are you willing to make those sacrifices to prosper your wife? You need to think through that. Secondly, our love is to be patterned after the Savior of the church. Not only are we to love our brides as we love ourselves, we are to love our brides as Christ loved the church. And that is quite a tall order. And I want us to reflect upon that a little bit. One man has said that this love is not so much governed by the desire to have as it is by the desire to give. And that is what we see in the love of Christ for His bride. He gave everything for her. In one sense, He certainly and literally laid down His life for His bride. And it wasn't just men that He was willing to do so. He was willing to do so. He went willingly to the cross for her. But it was that He actually did so. And that's what we need to hear. It's not just that daily we're willing to sacrifice for our brides. It is that daily we are sacrificing for our wives. And so our love is to be patterned after the love of the Savior for His church. And this is where I want us to spend the bulk of our time, just reflecting upon that love. And certainly men, as we think through these things and apply them to our lives for our in our relationship with our brides, I think that this is for all of us in the sense of what Christ's love is for us. First of all, the love of Christ for us is an unconditional. It is a free love. He loves us despite who we are, not because of who we are. And men, as husbands, we love our brides first and foremost, not because of how beautiful they are, not because of how kind they are, not because of how sweet they are, not because of what they do for us and how they treat us. We love them because we said we would love them. We love them because they are our bride. We love them because we entered into a covenant with them and committed ourselves to them and said, "This will mark me all the days of my life. I will die to self and live for your good." live for your interest, live to promote your happiness and your holiness. That's what I committed to, and that's what I will do. First and foremost, our love for our brides ought to be an unconditional, a free love. It is not about what we will get in return. It is not about if I do this, will she do this? It is not about why can't she get this right? It's not thinking about those things. I'm determined to love no matter the cost to me. No matter who she is or what she does or what she doesn't do, my love for her, my commitment to her will not change. And that is first and foremost, that is what Christ's love for us is like. Right? Christ loves the unlovely. Christ loves the unbeautiful. Christ loves the ungodly. Christ, while we were yet sinners, came for us, to die for us, to give Himself for us. That is the pattern of our love. And that is what we are to do with our dear brides. Secondly, it is an initiating and a volitional love. It is a choosing love and it is an initiating love. How many of you men, and you don't have to raise your hand, have ever thought to yourself, you know what, I'm just tired of doing all the initiating, all the pursuing. I wish she would do more. That's your job. That's what Christ's love for His bride is. It's a pursuing love. It is a love that chose her. It is a love that is interested in her. It is a love that keeps on after her. It is an initiating and a volitional love rather than a reciprocal love. Thirdly, it is an intense and passionate love. That is the love of Christ for His bride. It is an intense love. He went to the cross for her. The burden, the prospect of bearing the wrath of God against her sins was a daunting prospect. And yet Christ's intense, devoted love towards His bride took Him to the cross. Nothing would keep Him from going there. Nothing would hinder Him from laying it all on the line to procure her good. And so our love for her is to be an intense and a passionate love. And brethren, I understand sometimes the word passionate, we have a bit of trouble with that in relation to understanding our unchanging, immutable God. But I am comfortable, very comfortable using the language of Scripture to convey who God is. And God was pleased to give to us language that conveyed feeling, that conveyed intensity, that conveys passion. We can see that in the Psalms over and over again in reference to God. The words for compassion speaks of bowels being stirred within Him, a deep love for Him. And so we ought to understand that God's love for His people is a passionate love. He loves us dearly. And that is the language that is conveyed over and over again. The picture as He speaks to Israel, a mother could not leave her child alone to die, nor will your God. How much more will your God come to your rescue? Again, the idea there is He is bound to us with love. And so we ought to think in terms of a passionate. Do you love your bride? Do you, men? Is she the delight of your heart? Is she your treasure? Do you smile when you think about her? Do you enjoy being with her? We're going to see some of those things as we continue on. It is a single and special love. Jesus has a love for His bride that He does not have for anyone else. He doesn't say, I love her and I love everyone else alike. It would not be a special love if that were the case. You know, sweetie, I want you to know I love you very much, but just the same as everyone else. No, it is a special and it is a singular love. And what I mean by singular is there is no wandering to the love. There is not, you know what, I love someone else a little bit. There is no teasing with the idea of someone else or something else. My heart and my mind and my eyes and all that I am is devoted to her.
And that is exhibited in the way you live your daily life. It is exhibited in the thoughts. It is exhibited in what you allow yourself to see and to look at and to think about. It is a singular love. I will delight in no one else. I will treasure no one else. I will find pleasure in no one else. She and she alone will have all my heart. And I am willing to cut off my right hand and to pluck out my right eye in order to make sure that that is the case. And you know, men, this is, I need to speed along, but I will just say in reference to that, we can control what we look at and we can control what we think about. And the lie from Satan is that we can't. We need to have a singular love for our bride. It is an unselfish love. And again, some of these mesh together. But it is not a love that thinks first and foremost of me. It is a love that thinks of her. Her needs, her pleasures, her delights, her holiness. Whatever it might be, it is an unselfish love. Again, willing to give and to give and to give. And when I think I've given all I can, to keep on sacrificing for her. Just so you know, just a reminder, that's what you signed up for. When you said I do, that's what you were committing to. Whatever it takes, I will live for her good. What a wonderful thing that is, men. We are to pattern our love after the love of the Savior. It is a purposeful love. It is a love that desires her good in all. It is a love that desires to see her highest joy, which is ultimately her holiness. It is a love that wants her to be walking faithfully with the Lord. It is a love that engages her to that end. It is, as we've said, a self-sacrificial love. It is a communicative love. You know, men, sometimes we forget about that, right? We forget that our love to our bride is to be communicated. Christ's love towards us has been communicated. It has been manifested. It has been shown. It has been demonstrated. And so He came. He didn't just stand aloof in the heavens and say, I love you. He came and demonstrated that love by taking on our flesh. By also living a righteous life in a sinful world in our midst, by going to the cross and dying in our place so that He might set us free, might purify us, beautify us, that He might present us blameless to the Father. It is a love that is communicated. It is a love that is shown and demonstrated. And so first and foremost, I want us to understand it is communicated by being demonstrated. But I want us also to focus in here. It is communicated verbally. Christ has spoken to us of His love. In fact, in the most beautiful and wonderful of language, He has delivered to us how much He loves us. He has delivered to us all that is necessary for life and godliness in this world. And so we need to understand that the love that the Savior has communicated by way of speaking His word into written form, if I can say it that way, we ought to speak of our love to our brides. It ought to be communicated. How many times in the Scriptures does God speak of His loving kindness towards His people, of His commitment to them? How many times does He speak in language, quite frankly, brethren, that is beyond our comprehension? The things He says about us, how He views us, His bride, and He communicates it. He communicates it to us. Do you communicate your love to your bride? Is it manifested on a daily basis by how you live before her and for her? I hope that it is. It is a communing and involved love. It is a love that is interested in the bride. How many times have you men come to the Lord to unburden your hearts, and He said to you, you know what? Not today. I don't have time for that today. I don't have time to listen. In fact, I'm closing my prayer hearing ear to your prayers. Well, in case you don't know, it's never once happened to His precious people. He listens. If you come in sincere faith and humility before the Lord, His ear is open to you. And He is willing to hear of all your burdens, all your concerns, all your difficulties, and all your struggles. And do you know what His heart towards you is? It's a tender heart. It's a merciful heart. It's a heart of grace. He wants to heal the wounded. He wants to bind up the brokenhearted. He wants to provide mercy and grace in our time of need. And that's how He is. And He doesn't turn us away. And brethren, so we are to be with our brides. We are to welcome them into our presence with their struggles, with their difficulties, with their problems, with their emotions, with their different emotions that sometimes we don't understand as much. We're to say, bring them on in. I want to hear. I have a listening ear. And men, I'm engaged with an understanding heart. And sometimes that means not a heart right away to initially fix the problem. Right? We're problem fixers. I know. I know. She comes and all she wants to do is talk for a little while. And she's willing to receive instruction, but not. But sometimes the way I give it at the moment is untimely. I'm not just willing to listen and let her unburden her heart. And so I need to be that way, and so do you. What a wonderful thing that our Savior is always ready to hear the cries of His people. How many times have you men found comfort when you are crying to Him? How many times have you found joy as He was listening to you, as you communed with Him in prayer? We need to have a communing love. I've already emphasized the idea of a manifested and working and active love, and so we'll skip over that. It is an interceding love. The Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for His people. He prays for them, and His work of intercession in its broadest form is more than just prayer. It also is the provision of all that is necessary for their sanctification and their good on earth. And brethren, our love is to be an interceding love for our brides. Do you pray for her? I've often told the men at BLVC, if you're not praying for your wife, that is probably a very strong indicator of how much you really love your bride. Are you praying for her? Are you concerned for her spiritual welfare? Do you know some of her weaknesses? Do you know her strengths? Are you praying that the Lord would encourage her in this area, that He would grow her in this area, that He would promote her and prosper her in her strengths, that He would continue to make her useful and to use her? Do you pray for her, whatever her daily duties are, whether they're with children or without children, whatever her responsibilities are? Are you praying for her? That is so important. Is your love manifested in a heart that says, I want the very best for my wife, and I know where to get the very best for her, and that is at the throne of grace. I will intercede on her behalf. And then if we can understand intercession in its broadest form, I will provide for her all she needs. And so we might even just add right now, the love of Christ for His bride is a provisional love. Give to her all that she needs and for life and godliness. And in our sense, are we providing all that she needs? Are we wanting to? Are we eager to? You know what your wife has said for 10 years? I just need a kettle. And you're for 10 years, nope, can't afford a kettle. Man, get a job on the side for a few extra hours and get your wife a kettle. She needs one, she said, to fix your food. Again, that's just an example. Don't leave this place and say, Ryan said if we want to love our wives, we got to get her a kettle. All right? That's not what I'm talking about. Just one example. What is it that she needs? Does she need a new Bible? Does she need a book to help her in an area? Are you listening? Do you know her needs? Does she need a new utensil in the kitchen? Would something make her life easier? Are you listening? Are you providing? Brethren, unless I know some men might think, well, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Make her life easier. The Lord Jesus Christ has made absolutely every provision for His people. Now, our lives are full of trials and difficulties in this sin-tainted, sin-cursed world. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not stingy with what He gives out for our spiritual welfare. And we ought not to be as husbands. We ought to want to provide for them. I ought to say, you know what? I do want a new knife or a new gun. But you know what? She would like this. Who cares about my gun or my knife when I can get her this, when I can provide this for her? To that end, I'll even just add another one here. The love of Christ for His bride is a lavish love. He just pours it out. And in one sense, I want to, if you live in the United States of America, this is probably true of you, so I think I'm safe in saying it. We have not only all that we need, we know a richness beyond what we need. How many of you have had at least one of your wants met in this life? At least one at some point, from children to adulthood. You can raise your hand. I want to know. Have you had at least one want? Okay. Not just a need, a want. I have two. In fact, I've had a lot more than just one. And you know what? That's because the Lord Jesus Christ is so gracious and so good. He's generous. And we ought to be that way with our brides. You know what? It's not, take her on a date. That's okay to do. It's okay to buy her something that she might enjoy or like. You say, I don't understand the usefulness of that. It's okay. And all, you know, you want to be wise and you want to be careful, but it's okay to shower her with good gifts. It's okay to express your love towards her in that way. We live in this time of already, not yet. And so we are experiencing the richness of Christ's love. But brethren, a day is coming in which it's going to be even far greater. That is our experience of it in glory. And the richness that will be poured out upon us by our heavenly husband. We cannot even begin to imagine it. And it is okay to lavish good things upon our brides. It is okay to treat them special. It is okay to be, not just okay, we ought to be kind to them and to show them that we truly and genuinely care in a number of ways. I've mentioned in passing, though I'll just put a few more in here. It's a provisional love. It is a protecting love and a jealous love. We want to be jealous for our brides and protective of them. Right now, I'm spending time with family. And if you've ever spent time with family, sometimes, and I'm not saying it's happened this week. My family's going to be here later this week, later today. So don't tell them I said this. All right. Sometimes it happens that someone in the larger family kind of says something, and it may be a little hurtful to your bride or something. And you know, sometimes our tendency is to say, well, family and bride. Which one do I side with? And we're not maybe debating about it in our mind. Maybe some of you are. But there's this tendency to just kind of be like, sweetie, can just be okay and let's just... I want to be jealous for my bride. I want to have a protective love for her. I said, no one's going to make fun of her. No one's going to say something silly about her or stupid. No one's going to, you know... No, wait a minute. I want to have a protective love. She's first and foremost, not someone else. And brethren, I've been guilty. I've been guilty of putting someone else before her. Do you have a protective and jealous love for your bride? A perceptive and discerning love the Savior has for His people. He knows us through and through. He knows everything about us. Are you a student of your bride? Do you know her? Are you interested in her to the point that you know what makes her tick? And you also know what hurts? And you know what her struggles are? And you know what she needs? Do you know her? I hope that you do. It's much easier to love her and to sacrifice for her and to do kind things for her if you know how to do those things. And so are you studying her? If you don't know anything, you think, man, how can I serve her? How can I show my love to her? If you can't come up with anything, because sometimes, right, we'll admit it, us guys, we're, ask her. Ask her. She can tell you.
She can tell you something that would manifest love, something that would show that you are engaged and ready to come to her rescue on a daily basis, ready to lay down your life for her good. Perceptive, discerning love. Do you know your bride? Situational awareness is important here. You know, I'll get talked to after this for saying this, but my wife is about to do laundry, and you know, and this is what I'm going to get talked to, is because the laundry basket is like stacked full of clothes, right? And you see her, like she goes down to pick it up, and she's like trying to get this thing down the stairs, and the clothes are, but for me, it's nothing, right? For me, it's just like, I got this thing, I'll run it downstairs for you. But for her, that could be a real big task, actually. And being situationally aware, kind of just knowing what's going on. Oh, I'm sitting down reading or doing whatever, playing. Oh, she's coming down the stairs with that. Let me run over there and grab that for her. That's a lot easier for me than it is for her. That's just, again, that's an example. Unloading the dishwasher. There's another thing, right? Listen, how many men have ever done the dishes? Have you ever done the dishes? Okay, I'm just going to confess, I don't like doing the dishes. All right? I'm not like, oh, dishes again, yay. So I can only imagine that my wife is probably not like, woohoo, dishes. I just cook for 2.5 hours. The kids are screaming and running around because they always get their second wind right before and then right after dinner. Okay, what I'd really like to do is spend the next 30 to 45 minutes cleaning up. I doubt that's going through her mind. If it's not going through your mind, it's probably not going through her. So, babe, I got that. Let me do that. I'll do it tonight. I'll do it tomorrow night. Hey, you know what? In fact, I'll try to do that every night for you so you don't have to do that. Again, just an example. It's not thus saith the Lord, do your dishes for thy wife, okay? So I don't want you to think that that's what I'm saying. But it is applying self-sacrificial love. And you know how you can do that for your wife. And if you don't, ask her and find out. And if you can't get any ideas out of her, come talk to some of us. Other men in the church, right? And say, what do you do? And get together and brainstorm. How can we show our wives that we love them dearly and are willing to live for their good? It's a compassionate and tender-hearted love. This is where living with our wives in an understanding way comes into play. We need to understand that they are different, that they are the weaker vessel, and we need to have a tender heart towards them, a compassionate heart towards them. We need to want to understand where they are coming from so that we can enter into their concerns. Christ's love is an incarnational love. He took upon himself human flesh. He feels our pain. And we're not going to get it. What a profound thought that our risen Lord is a real and true man in the heavenly places. And brethren, when his bride is hurting, he sympathizes. Have you ever sympathized with anyone? They've been in pain and your heart is breaking for them. And we need to be that way with our brides. How about when they're rejoicing? What a wonderful thought. That we have a sympathizing high priest who sorrows when we sorrow and rejoices when we rejoice. We're to be that way with our brides. Well, man, we're coming to the end here. I've taken up my time. But what I want to say in closing is this. When you look at Ephesians 5 and you begin to meditate on what it means to love your wife as yourself. And then you meditate on what it means to love your wife as Christ loved the church. There is plenty to think through on a daily basis. Am I exhibiting this sort, this kind of love? Am I showing it to my bride? And I hope that we can answer yes. And when we fail and we sin and we need to go to Christ, who is a forgiving and gracious husband. And then we need to go to him not only for pardoning grace, but enabling grace, that we might get up again and that we might endeavor, that we might seek by the power of the Spirit, working the word of truth into our hearts, to live as such husbands with our brides. That's what we want. That's what we want. If you love her, you'll want to love her this way. If you love her just a little bit, you'll want to love her more this way. You know, if I can say it this way, my wife deserves that I would love her this way. Now, I know you say, wait, that doesn't compute. Don't you know she's my wife is such a wonderful woman, such a precious treasure. I should love her like this. So do you want to? That's the important. Do you want to? And then if you want to, are you endeavoring to? And so don't just take it. Yeah, I want to do that. You got to take the necessary steps every day to do so. You say, yeah, you know what? I haven't done that my whole life. Start doing it today. You say, I don't even know where to begin. Start doing it today in little ways, saying, how can I forget self and live for? And in many ways, that's what I tell young people as marriage is. It's like the call to come to Christ. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow. It's denying yourself completely to live for another person. That's what it is. And so are you aiming to do it? That's the question. Are you endeavoring and leaning upon the Spirit and the grace of God in order to do so well? May God help us to do so. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of truth. And Father, we admit that as husbands, it is so convicting when we hear the tall order of the love of Christ for his bride that we are to follow. We ask that you would give to us enabling grace that we might be such husbands. We ask that you would remind us daily to be such husbands. We ask that it might be said of us that we are the biggest servant in the home. Father, we ask that it might be said of us that we are self-denying husbands who are concerned for the joy, for the godliness of our brides. We ask that our minds would be turned towards them ultimately, Father, ultimately with the motivation that our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of us being such husbands. This is what we are called to. Help us to be it by the grace of God, that we might magnify what Christ does for sinners. This is not who we are naturally. This is not what we are inclined towards. In fact, our propensity is the opposite way, to love ourselves and live for ourselves. We need these commands to ring in our ears daily, that we might be what Christ has called us to be, that he might receive glory and honor from us as we seek to live with our brides as we are called to. Give grace, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen.